welcome to the Chicago Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane, joined by my producers, Dan Mott and John Solly. Really excited for today's guest, Bears wide receiver and kick returner Mark Mariani is going to join us for an interview. Mark recently re-signed with the Bears a couple weeks ago, so he'll be back for 2016. And we'll talk about that and all the things the Bears have been up to and what Mark's up to as he leads into the next season. It's end of March. We're heading into April, and the Bears have kind of slowed down in terms of signings. As we speak, they're supposed to meet with Omar Bolden, Broncos return man, safety special teamer this week. Otherwise, they're probably done with most of their big free agent signings. And John Solly, what's really struck me about this offseason is Ryan Pace has re-signed 9 players.
Now, 9 guys.
9 guys. Last year, he re-signed 4. And of those 4, I think only 1 or 2 finished the year with the team. Do you know? By the way, do you know who those guys were?
No. I got your trivia question off air, but I'm not getting the one on air.
Sheriff McManus was re-signed. Jimmy Clausen. Zach Miller, who finished his season with the team. Actually, Mark Mariani was one of those who got re-signed. Dante Rosario. But here, this week, since we last spoke on the podcast, Chris Pierzynski and Deontay Thompson and Sam Acho. So this is not abnormal because these are Ryan Pace's guys as opposed to the past he would re-sign Phil Emery's guys. But it seems to be showing you how confident he is in the guys he had last year and how much he appreciated their contributions. And we'll talk to Mark Marion about this. We talked to Pat Manley about this, John. He cares about special teams, Ryan Pace, and this John Fox regime, too.
Well, yeah, and last year you just had to churn over that roster as quickly as possible with as many guys as possible, so not bringing back a lot of guys, and then bringing back his guys who contributed to a pretty decent special teams unit. The signings make sense, to me at least.
Yeah, they do. When I kind of previewed these players before free agency, I thought to myself, who makes sense? Jaquizz Rodgers, that made sense. Why not? Chris Pierzynski, why not? Sheriff McManus, Mark Mariani, who we're going to have on in a minute. These guys all made sense. The trivia you did get earlier was I asked you.
I was proud of this one.
The last time you had, the Bears had the 206th pick in the draft, which they will have this year in the 6th round. They picked Brock Forsey.
And you know what I was proud about? I was proud that I got that right away. Like, I knew that answer.
And that sent me down Pro Football Reference to figure out that Brock Forsey once ran for 134 yards in a game. But it is April, or soon, and we're going to start talking draft eventually. But we're still recapping what the Bears have been doing, and part of what they did in free agency was bring back wide receiver and kick returner Mark Mariani, who is our guest on the Chicago Football Podcast. Mark, you're officially a friend of the program now because this is your second time on the podcast. I hope you are as honored as we are to have you.
Love being a regular, man. I love it. It is an honorable thing, and it's been a lifetime achievement, so I appreciate you helping me out with that.
Oh, of course, absolutely. So I'm going to start with the tough question, and I asked your new teammate, Danny Trevathan, this a couple weeks ago. What are all the ways people have mispronounced your last name?
Oh, man. The better question is, has anyone really ever gotten it right?
I asked you once in the locker room last year to confirm that it's Mariani, which Chicagoans should get that every time because you get the Annie part at the end.
Yeah,
but it's tough.
Guys with a little practice can get it, but the first few times I usually butcher pretty bad. I hear a lot of Marinara, Marinelli, Mariachi, a lot of that stuff, so as long as you're close to an Italian red sauce, I'm okay with it.
Well, good to know. Good for our listeners. And, of course, your former teammate Martellus Bennett once called you Mark Marinara in the locker room after a game, which had some reporters wondering if he actually knew who you were or if it was just a bit. You never knew with Marty if he was just kind of screwing around or if he actually thought that was your last name.
Yeah, me and Marty went back and forth a little bit. I wouldn't put it past him that he thought it was my last name, but I bet he was joshing you guys a little bit at the same time. So who knows for real, though?
I could see that. So, Mark, you got re-signed 2 weeks ago. What was that process like for you? You came off a career year in terms of receiving, and you had probably an opportunity to talk to other teams if you wanted to. I know you expressed interest to want to be back in Chicago. Those few days, you re-signed officially on a Saturday. So that week, what was that like for you?
It was interesting, and it was exciting, and it was nerve-wracking and all those things. You know, you hit it on the head, though. I really wanted to be back in Chicago. I think Coach Fox and Pace are putting together some special, and I want to be a part of it. But it was exciting. You know, I my family and I got to sit down and make some hard decisions and kind of weed through some things. But at the end of the day, it was the outcome that I wanted all along, and I'm just more than excited to be back and wearing blue and orange this year.
You don't have to tell me which teams, but were there other teams that reached out to you?
You know, there were some things in the works up until the last minute, and there were some things that were you know, in the fire, so to speak. But like I said, nothing that would have made me jump, and nothing that would have moved the needle enough to get me away from Chicago. I just wanted to be there. I wanted to work with Dowell and the offensive staff. I'm excited about our new wide receivers coach and all those things, and I'm just looking forward to it. And you know, there were some opportunities out there, but like I said, the outcome that I wanted was to be back in Chicago. So it would have taken a little bit more to get me out of there.
Why did you sign on a Saturday when some of us working reporters might be trying to celebrate their St. Patrick's Day, and then we got to go find a laptop and write about you? Not that I'm complaining or anything, just kind of curious about how the timeline worked out for you to sign on a Saturday.
I will tell you that I think the negotiations were done and things were settling, you know, either before. And then, you know, on Mondays when I actually signed the paper, but they were the ones that decided to announce it on Saturday, if you can remember right.
Yes,
I waited
true.
Till Monday, till the papers were signed, before I made my announcement and those things. But I was with you, man. I was with you out there in the streets celebrating and everything. And, you know, they put out their press release or however they announced it, and that's the way it felt. But I do apologize for that, because I would never want to ruin a quality American weekend on that sort of thing. So,
well,
I waited till Monday, though, and there's social media proof of that.
You did, I did see that. And I will say, because you know, you were the third bear to sign on Saturday, so nothing's your fault. I can blame Mitch Unrein even more and Jarrell Freeman, because they were the first, you know, come pulling the curtain back. Not that any of our listeners want to hear the bitchings and moanings of a sports writer, but I'm on the city bus to my buddy's apartment and my phone blows up. Jarrell Freeman's been signed, so I'm writing things on my phone. I get to his apartment, I take his wife's computer and start writing. Then Mitch Unrein's been signed. Then you get signed. Then we get Freeman on the phone call. It was, you know, my friend kind of enjoyed just watching me just kind of frantically type. But what I always say this, Matt Forte, you know, we're going to miss him in the locker room. I know you guys are going to miss him, but I give Matt credit for this. He announced he wasn't coming back on a Friday morning, which was perfect for us office
writers. There you go. You guys got all that out of the way.
Huh? I think my producers are playing a tiny violin for me right now, Mark, as I complain
yeah.
about this.
I know. It's sad. It is sad.
So when that week, too, you talked about how much you want to be a part of the Bears, and a lot of the things they were doing were on the other side of the ball. I'm always curious in terms of, how much do you pay attention to, you know, they signed Trevathan, they signed Freeman, Akeem Hicks was a couple days after you. Are you following on Twitter? Are you guys texting each other? I mean, how are you paying attention to the other things that are going on with the Bears?
Yeah, I do keep up. I would say less on the business side of things and more just as a you know, a fan and as a, you know, just being excited for the organization. It's not one of those things that really goes into my decision-making that much, but I definitely keep up with all you guys. So you better watch it on there on the social media outlets. I'm listening. No, I'm just kidding. But, I enjoyed seeing, the Bears active, you know, and out there and signing guys and putting pieces together and kind of trying to fill voids. And so that was exciting to see, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't affect my decision. I just do it because I enjoy it. And, you know, I think the organization is heading in a great direction. And like I said, that was fun to see, and it was another reason why I was excited to be one of those pieces to the puzzle and hopefully help us go in the right direction. So I was keeping track, but didn't put much weight in my decision.
So speaking of some of those puzzle pieces, let's talk about all of Jeff Rogers' best friends that have been brought to back to the Bears this year. So Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator. So we got you, Deontay Thompson, Sam Acho, Chris Przinski, Jaquiz Rogers, Sherrick Manis, all re-signed, and then new long snapper added Aaron Brewer from Denver. So we had Pat Manley on the show 2 weeks ago, and you know how Pat feels about special teams. And he talked about how important it is to see Ryan Pace putting that emphasis in guys that are involved in the kicking game, whether it's in coverage or, you know, you're involved in the return game. When you see that, even not even just as a return guy, but as a football player, what's that tell you about the organization when they are focused on some of these guys that you know very well from those special teams meetings?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I put a lot of stock into that, obviously, and seeing that is exciting. I mean, there's guys that kind of make their career by those, you know, that side of the ball and those things. But I mean, I think we realize, you know, as a team and as an organization, that fourth down is such a key component to winning football games. I mean, you look at the snap breakups and there's 40, 50 plays on special teams every weekend. And, you know, this kickoff rule just changed again. So that's going to be important. And you see guys come in sometimes and bust those special teams up and go younger or whatever, and it affects teams. I mean, it affects teams, and you got to have guys that are out there and disciplined and know what they're doing, because it's important. I mean, you can make or break games, and in this league, I think we saw some stats this year that just popped up about how close the games were in the NFL this year and on a historic level. And you look at a couple plays going either way, and special teams is a huge part of that. So to be able to put stock in that, to be able to, you know, add competition at positions as well as get guys that are disciplined and ready to play on fourth down. It's a huge part of the game, and I look forward to being a part of that room as well.
Joined, of course, here by Mark Mariani, Bears wide receiver. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at MarkMariani80, although I don't think you've tweeted in a while, but people can go find your signing of the contract.
Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
You're all over
I'm
the
active
place.
On all of it, yeah.
You mentioned the kickoff rule, so what do you think? I'll tell you, my first inkling when I heard this was real good kickers and cover teams might try to take advantage of this new rule because you can pin guys behind 25. So as a returner and someone involved in special teams, what do you think is going to be the impact of this new rule?
I mean, you know what? I thought a couple of things immediately when I heard it, and I haven't really talked to Coach Rogers about the rule or anything or dove into it any more than just surface level, you know, just kind of having a reaction to it is I don't think coaches are going to want to give up the 25. So I think you're exactly right. I think you're going to see a lot more strategy. It's going to make the returners have a lot more decision on their plate, I guess, to say, you know, of what to do. And it's going to make that play more important. And you see guys booting it out all year, or, you know, the past few years. And a few years back, I think it was 2011, they changed it for safety reasons. And then this new rule change kind of goes the other direction, because I really believe you're going to see a lot more pop kicks and junk kicks, we call them, and those kind of things to pin guys inside the 20 and 25. So I'll be interested to see. I would like to hear a reasoning why they did that with that rule. But I definitely think it's going to put an emphasis on the kick return back into the kick return game that we haven't seen since 2010 when the rule, when guys were kicking off from the 30 and that sort of thing. So it's definitely good for me. I mean, shoot, the more chances us returners can get the ball in our hands, the better. But I think it just contradicts what they did in 2011. So we'll see how it all plays out.
You, because of your injury that you had, you probably have a good perspective on the focus the NFL has on injuries that happen on the kick return game. And I think they would probably say this rule is to encourage more touchbacks because the fewer returns they believe leads to fewer injuries. But look, you came back from your injury, and you have the mind of a football player. You're ready to go back out there and keep returning kicks. I mean, do you feel from playing wide receiver and playing returner, when you're on the field, do you feel like there is that bigger injury risk on the return game than there is anywhere else in the field?
Gosh, that's a hard question. It's hard for me to compare the return game and the, the offensive or defensive side of the ball. I think definitely the guys up front that are taking on collisions with guys that are running full speed, so the bigger guys setting the wedge or that sort of thing, they're involved in a lot more contact on those kick return plays, definitely. But, you know, as a returner, it's just another aspect of the game. You know, you got to count on your guys. You got to have faith in the guys in front of you. And I've taken my fair share of shots in my career. So it's just part of the business. And honestly, you can read the stats and you can, you know, hear the media and that sort of thing when the game's not going on. But when I'm on the field, I don't worry about it too much. I think the guys that worry about it on the field are the ones that are setting themselves up for failure. So I think just, you know, being cognizant of it, knowing what you're getting yourself into, but then, you know, on Sundays when it's time to go, you just let her fly and play full speed and things will take care of themselves. But, you know, I think the special teams definitely will, this new rule will impact that in some way. I'm just waiting to see what that is. If guys will bring it out, if guys will kick it deep, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I have a dumb question for you. You ready for it?
Looking forward to it.
All right. So when you're practicing the return game, so I think it's fair to say that the first half of the season was not your best in terms of returning kicks and punts. Is that fair? Last year?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
So when you are so skilled at that one kind of unique job, I mean, you made a Pro Bowl for it. How do you go out and just practice returning in the off season? Because you could get faster, I guess, but you don't have guys around you. It's not like you can catch passes or run routes or throw the ball or work on your pass sets if you're a blocker. So how do you simply get better at returns?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a challenge. That's a challenge every off season because you can't simulate any special teams. You can't simulate live reps until preseason games. So even during training camp, you can't simulate those live, full speed return reps, punt returns, standing under a punt with guys breathing down your neck, that sort of thing. So honestly, you just got to work on fundamentals. You got to work on catching. You got to work on, making your first cut. You got to work on your decision making. But you do the best you can. You know, we went out a bunch of times in bad conditions and caught punts and to try to simulate Soldier Field and, you know, righties, lefties, all that stuff. So you try to get as many catches as you can. But at the end of the day, you just got to, you know, you that's why those preseason reps are so valuable is, you know, the live, full speed, full contact reps are hard to come by during the off season. So you got to make them count when you get them.
I don't know if you remember this, Mark, but when they first changed the rule, so it would have been the 2012 preseason, or maybe 2011 preseason, Lovie Smith ignored the rule change. Do you remember this? And he kicked from the normal spot that it originally was at. He told Robbie to just kick because he needed the guys to get their reps. So it was Bears-Broncos at Soldier Field, and everyone was talking about it. That was Peyton Manning's first game back. And it was the preseason, and we all kind of talked about the kickoff rule, and there was Lovie blatantly ignoring the rule. Because as you said, for you guys, for special teams guys, especially some of the bottom of the roster guys, that like they need special teams reps to make a team, that's got to be kind of frustrating. Like I joke sometimes on Twitter when in the preseason a kicker just booms it out of the end zone. Like, I know a kicker needs his practice too, but come on, give the guy a chance. Does it get frustrating for you guys?
No doubt about it. And, you know, what's funny is I'm going to have to look that up because I don't remember that. And I would love to watch that because that's the way I felt. You know, I was coming off going to Hawaii, and just not too long after, we got the new rule change, which kind of put a damper on things. But, that's just goes back to my last point is they are so valuable. And, you got a guy like Coach Rogers and those guys who have to make those critical decisions on those last few roster spots with little to no live rep, action. So, So those reps are so valuable. And I do think that coaches at times during the preseason, especially, tell their kickers to leave them in play, leave them in play. We want to see our guys cover and that sort of thing. And I also think that's why there's some big returns early in the year out the gate because coverage teams haven't been working together that long. You know, they haven't got to see a lot of live reps, and it's a tough thing sometimes to get that gelled up and get guys working together. So I think, you know, I think special teams is an interesting part. And, you know, I think the more experience you have on it with guys that have done it at a high level, the better off you'll be. So that, you know, back to what Pace is doing on that. I mean, it's important to get those guys that have done it before, because those reps are hard to come by.
So you mentioned Dowell Loggins, and part of your reason to come back, you get to work with Dowell, and you are one of the few people that really knows what he can do as a play caller, because you're with him with the Tennessee Titans. We haven't gotten a chance to talk to Dowell yet. We've heard from Foxy, we've heard from Ryan Pace, but what about Dowell do you believe will make him a good play caller for this offense?
You know, I think from the sounds of it, we're going to keep a lot of things similar as far as scheme and offense go. Maybe some change in terminology and that sort of thing, which comes with, you know, all coaches. They put their little twist on things. But the thing about Dowell is he brings an energy. He's excited to come to work. And he puts, you know, his emphasis is he wants to put guys in the best possible situation that really brings out their strengths as a football player, and he puts them in those situations to succeed and to help the team, whatever situation those may be. And you know, I think that'll benefit us. We got a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. He likes to keep it balanced, but I just think he'll bring a different mindset to the office every day, which is let guys make plays. You know, get the ball out and let the guys around Jay make plays and put them in the best situation to do that. And I've worked with him for many years, and he's a very likable, fun guy to be around, and he gets the most out of his guys. So it'll be fun.
Is it get old, the jokes about his height, or do you guys just do it every day?
I think it's pretty much a daily occurrence that he's getting crap from somebody. But here's a stat that I love that I always bring out, and that is that Dowell went to Arkansas, and he has the most games played as an Arkansas Razorback in the history of the program. And you might have to go and Google me on this, but it's because he was the holder all 4 years of college. So no matter his stature, no matter how many snaps he got at quarterback, he played in the most games as an Arkansas Razorback. And I just love throwing that out there, because you get some wide-eyed responses at times, but he takes it well, and he'll give it right back to you pretty quick. So it's a good room to be in.
I've heard, I mean, Jay is like this with us. I mean, he ribs the reporters a little bit. I imagine because he and Dowell are pretty close, that there's a fair amount of good nature ribbing between the two of them.
there's a fair amount, fair to whatever is above fair.
Right.
But no, it's a good building all around. I mean, guys, the quarterback rooms was unique last year, and they had, you know, like you said, Jay and Dowell had a great relationship. And then, you know, as guys were around, you know, we had our first year with the whole coaching staff. So as guys kind of got familiar with each other, we had a great building all around. You know, it starts from the top down with Coach Foxy, and then, you know, Dowell and Gase was a huge part of it. And then, you know, all of the coaches kind of, we just had good relationships. Our receiver room worked well with the quarterback room. And once we all got on the same page, it was fun to go to work, because we were all, you know, we all had the same goals. The offense was coming together. And, you know, I think that was the biggest takeaway from the last, you know, month, 2 months of the season, was just guys gelled, you know, relationships grew, things got easier, and it was fun to be around all the guys. And you know, I hope we could pick up where we left off with a lot of the same pieces. I hope we can pick up where we left off and move forward into here 2016 and kind of kick things up a notch.
Few more questions here with Mark Mariani. Now, Mark, I know you're going to want to keep improving that return game, but is there a part of you that is maybe more excited to be involved as a receiver this offseason than the past? Because you didn't catch any passes for like 3 or 4 years in a regular season game, and then you were a big part of the offense last year. Everyone remembers the first downs in Packers games. I think, what, like your first 17 catches went for first down. So your confidence level as a receiver, I imagine, is pretty high now. Are you looking forward to kind of continuing to build off that looking to next season?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've, you know, in my own mind, I've always been a receiver first, and, you know, the return game has been kind of the staple of my career and kept me in this league and all those things. But, you know well that 90% of your day is based around offensive defense, you know, whatever position room you're in. And so I felt like I had all this cooped up emotion, you know, about that. I just wanted to prove to everyone that I could play the position. You know, I've been doing the return game and loving it, obviously. I love it, don't get me wrong. But I just wanted to show that I could do it week in and week out, and not just during training camp, you know, not just during the preseason. I wanted to show that on the biggest stages that I could do those things and play that position, which is where I've been, you know, my whole career. And so those are big moments for me. You know, you talk about the Green Bay game and some of the games down the stretch. It was just really, really exciting for me to be in those situations. And now I have that film, and now I have that, you know, proof, so to speak. And now I have something to build on. I have, you know, goals, and I want to build on that and keep moving forward with that. So yes, I am looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to this off season with the guys, looking forward to being, you know, a part of this offense going forward.
I have your 2010 scouting report from a draft book. You ready? Are you ready for this?
No, I don't know what. Yes, I'm ready. I'm interested.
So this is from the Pro Football Weekly draft book. Your positives: sets up DBs with savvy and sells his routes. Good field awareness, knows how to work zones, has a knack for finding open areas and keeps working to come free, has good leaping ability with a 39-inch vertical. Nice, very nice, Mark.
Thank you.
Pesky blocker, very smart and competitive, extremely hardworking, outstanding production, clutch performer, has returning ability, and has stood out special teams coverage early in his career. Your negatives: very lean and undersized with a frame that does not appear like it can get much bigger. Have you gotten any bigger since college?
Yeah, I think I put on a little weight since college. I don't know what. Does it have my weight in there?
I don't remember what it was. I just
okay. Yeah, we'll have to find out. But a little bit of weight.
All right, and then he is not a blazer, and which could be a good thing in the NFL. But is not a blazer and does not have a lot of downfield production. Has faced marginal competition. Your overall summary: a good college football player with a chance to compete for a job as a slot receiver and a return man in the pros, but may have to take the long route and prove himself all over again, like he did when he arrived as a walk on. How spot on do you think that was? Was that pretty close?
Whoever wrote that, man, is pretty damn good, I'd say. There's a lot of things that really came to fruition there. Is that one of the Bears scouts that wrote that?
This was Nolan Naraki was our Pro Football Weekly scout, and he still actually writes his own draft book. I've always considered him one of the best. And by the way, you were 6'1", 181. With a 4.5 140, according to the book.
Nice. Okay, I put on a little weight, man. Put on a little weight, probably good weight. You know, I don't know what I was coming out of college, but
What I liked about this report was it wasn't completely stereotypical white wide receiver stuff. Like, there's some stuff in there that, you know, like every, you know, Wes Welker has in his scouting report, but there's also some stuff in there that, you know, could just be anybody. So, you know, he's not putting you in a corner here. I mean, you're out to be just you could just be a great wide receiver here, especially with that 39-inch vertical leap.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I tested well and things went well for me. My production in college was good, even though, you know, the knock on 1AA guys is always the same, and we'll never be able to shake that, which is fine. But what I thought was interesting that you just read is, and all I've really ever asked for in my career was a chance to compete, you know, and I think that that's something that helps me get to where I go every day. Is I just want to compete, man, and I have a strong desire to win. And I, you know, another reason I came back to Chicago, I have a really burning passion to win, and I'll do whatever it takes. And so, you know, just give me a chance to compete, whether it's, you know, throwing number 100 on me in college and giving me a chance to make the spring roster or seventh round draft pick or pick me up halfway through the season. I don't really care. Just give me a chance to compete and whatever the measurables say, you know, is what it is. But I promise you, I'll be ready when the opportunity calls, and kind of that's what I've stood by, in my whole 6-7 years here, and I don't think I'm going to fudge from that too far. It's been a pretty good recipe so far.
Absolutely has. All right, a couple rapid fire questions to finish things up. Do you have a Final Four prediction for this weekend?
Oh man, it's right now. I gotta go North Carolina now, but I'm excited to see Buddy Hield, to be honest. I want to see what he can do, but I want Roy Williams to win another one. I know that's the front runner, but gotta go with them.
I love watching Buddy Hield. But that's also my pick. In case you were curious, I don't know if you.
Nice,
but.
Perfect. There you go.
Did you congratulate Jay Cutler on Vanderbilt Hall of Fame induction?
Yes, I did. I did congratulate him, and I was actually we managed to cross paths somehow, and I was going to go to his induction dinner. It was in Nashville early in the off season, but huge snowstorm in Nashville, and all the flights got canceled. So I think the whole thing got rescheduled. But I was in the city and was going to stop by to congratulate him, but spending a lot of time in that city, I can tell you he is legendary down there. They love him, and that's big time, man. I'm really happy for him. He deserves all the credit he can get, because we all know he takes a lot of crap from all different angles, but he's definitely one of the best out there. So I definitely congratulated him on that.
Who's allowed to tease him in the locker room? Like, who's allowed to rib him? I mean, you're pretty close to them with the Nashville ties, but I mean, like, are there guys in there? I assume Kyle can kind of go free reign a little bit.
Kyle and him go back and forth pretty good. I would say Kyle's not right near the top. The whole O-line room do pretty well on him, I would say. But yeah, Jay seems like he wouldn't take it well, but he's one of the best. So if you give him any, you better be ready to take it right back. But I would say Kyle Long's right at the top of the list, just because he's a smart ass, anyways. So
right. I would be terrified if Matt Slauson had like, that would be one where like I would kind of turn and be like, I have nothing to respond.
Yeah. Slaw's one that sometimes can take it a little too far. But because it's him, no one really, no one really wants to call him on it. So we let Slaw kind of has free reign as well. So he keeps guys in line pretty good.
Well, I saw Slaw's Instagram yesterday where he was lifting like 600 pounds of something, and that's
I saw that too. I saw that too, and I was like, yeah, he can pretty much get away with whatever. But
yeah.
The locker room's pretty loose, man. Guys give it back and forth at a pretty good rate. So
good.
It's wide open.
Well, this will all help, Mark, because the ultimate goal of this podcast is to get Jay Cutler on the podcast. Not that getting you wasn't exciting. I mean, everyone's very excited to have you on. You're a two-time guest now, and we really appreciate it. But you want to be in a Pro Bowl. You know, that's your big goal, I'm sure. You want to win a Super Bowl. Our Super Bowl is getting Cuddy on the podcast. So if it ever comes around, if he happens to one day say, hey, this Fishbane guy, I mean, like, should I even do this? I'm hoping you'll put in a little bit of a good word for us.
I'll tell you what. I promise you, and we can talk when we get back to Chicago, but I will plant the seed.
Right.
I'm going to be spending some time with him. I'll plant the seed and see what he has to say. He's pretty quiet guy when the media comes around. You might have to do like maybe a 10-minute or something. But once you get him on here, you can string him out pretty good. But
I'd take him for like 90 seconds just to get him on the podcast. That'd be fine.
All right. Well, I will. I promise. We got a deal. I will plant the seed for you, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. Much appreciated. Mark Mariani, Bears wide receiver and kick returner. All right, my producers are getting all excited for the season now, hearing that. We really appreciate you coming on. We're excited for you. Congratulations again on the new contract, being back with the Bears. And we'll see you at OTAs and when you're back in Chicago.
Sounds good, my friend. Let's keep in touch, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Mark. That was, again, Mark Mariani. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter at MarkMariani80. And certainly a friend of the program, and part of being a friend of the program means he's going to try to get Jay Cutler on the podcast. We're going to recap the interview with Mark Mariani, talk a little Bear stuff, and then close up shop here just after this. All right, welcome back, everyone. Chicago Football Podcast. Just had a great interview with Mark Mariani. Great because of the subject, of course, not the interviewer. I give him all the credit. Nice of him to take up some time. He's out in the West Coast training, getting ready for the season. And yeah, when you know his story, guy was a walk-on in Montana, seventh-round pick, and still playing the league. You know, now entering, I believe, his sixth season. We'll be back with the Bears. And John, Dan, you know, I think the biggest takeaway from the interview is that he's going to put in a good word and tell Jay to come on the podcast. I have a funny feeling how Jay might respond.
What are you saying, Kevin?
we'll try to make it work. I mean, look, we're going to try to get a few more players on between now and then, and you know, we'll keep asking each one of them to put in a good word with Jay and see if he keeps piling on. Listen, the guys, the goal in life is to wear him down. We need to wear him down so he has, you know, no other choice. I thought it was fun. It was fun for me, at least, to read him that scouting report, because that's always a cool thing to do with guys later on. And as he said, like, he said that was pretty spot on. And a lot of that, especially that summary about, you know, taking the long route to prove himself all over again, is what he's been doing, and he was able to earn a new contract.
I was hoping that you wrote that. I was waiting for it. I was like, you had a smile on your face as he was responding, and I thought, Kevin's going to tell us he wrote this, and I would be like, that's awesome. But
you should have anyway.
Yeah, I should have. Had to give credit to Nolan because he's the man with that stuff. But it's always cool to go back, and I think it was interesting to get his take on the new touchback rule. I mean, they really don't know how teams are going to do this. And, you know, teams and players can't really – there's a lot of rules about how much chatter can happen during the offseason, pretty much none until they get back for OTAs. So it's very possible they don't really know what they're going to do. You know, is Robbie Gould going to try to pin teams back? Is Mark and Deontay Thompson going to be able to return kicks? But, you know, look, this is somebody who I know got a lot of flack for the first half of the season. I brought that up to him, and I think – and he admits it wasn't – ideal first half of the season for him, but the way he came through at the end as a returner and as a receiver, yes, it's a one-year contract. He's not getting a ton of money relative to NFL teams, but for that position, that's still a big deal to get re-signed that early in the process, and for someone like that to know where you're going, know where your family's going to be and all that stuff. You know, and look, we're never going to complain about having a good guy in the locker room to chat with. There's certainly someone that can come on the podcast.
We've had good podcast guests. He's one of the great podcast guests that we've had. And Mark was fantastic.
Yeah, so
I had said a couple podcasts ago about you. We went around the room. You asked who do you want signed. I was really happy to see that they re-signed him. And I had said back on that podcast that I was one of those that you know, was very frustrated with his play early on in the season last year. And you know, I'm excited to see him back.
I think we gotta get Dan Mata Mark Mariani jersey.
I'm gonna go out and get one right now. I'm so pumped right now.
Yeah, and good insight on Dowell Loggins, because we really don't know. We don't know very much of anything about Dowell. We didn't get a chance to talk to him since he's been since he got that promotion. Certainly, so you know, getting to talk to him about that and get some insight, because he played for Dowell in Tennessee the 1 year Dowell was an offensive coordinator. So Mark probably knows better than any player on the team what he can bring. So that was really cool to get that insight. I got to say this, though, and thank you to the listeners for letting me indulge and talk about my Saturday, my St. Patrick's Saturday. I do have to say for the record, and these guys can attest, I was very sick that week. You remember how sick I was that week?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. So, you sounded like death.
Yeah, so that Saturday, I was at a friend's, but I was not enjoying any of the St. Patrick's Day festivities. I was enjoying a Sudafed and an antibiotic and a lot of water and some soup. And I sat on the couch looking forward to just watching basketball all day. And then, of course, I had three or four stories to write. But that's, you know, look, that's not necessarily a complaint. I love it. I love getting to do that. But I didn't want anybody to think that I was doing anything, you know, St. Patrick's-y, and then going to the computer and then going back and a little back and forth.
Winners play hurt, Kevin.
They do. Yeah. They do. I keep going. I power
through. Not all heroes wear capes.
No. I power through, and you guys saw me with my giant bags of Kleenex tracing through the office.
You were so gross. The both of you. You were sick the other week, and yeah. I was producing this with gloves
funny,
on.
Funny quick story. I saw Kevin at Hallis Hall on at the Danny Trevathan and Bobby Massey press conference. And Kevin looked at me. He was like, you need to go home. Yeah. He's like, you look really sick.
It
Dan had seen me the day before when I was the one that needed to go home.
And I wound up getting norovirus that week. It was like the worst thing you could get. I don't know where I got it from, but
Did you eat Chipotle?
Yeah, no.
We just cost ourselves a sponsorship by me bringing that up.
But I can attest to Kevin, and Kevin was very sick. We're happy we're all healthy in the studio now.
All good to go, all excited about the season, just like Mark Mirani, who is our guest today. On the Chicago Football Podcast. And that does it. Again, follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at K Fishbane. He is at Mott's Thoughts. John Solly is at J Solly. And then you can get our Bears news at Bears_Insider. And keep going to ChicagoFootball.com for all the Bears news. Got a prospect preview up on DeForest Buckner. Ronnie Stanley coming later this week. Pro Football Weekly is doing some great stuff. Go check out their podcast and their website as well. And how's this for a tease? We're going Hollywood next week. We're going to have an actor on the Chicago Football Podcast. So stay tuned for that. Really excited about next week's interview. Big thank you again to Mark Mirani for coming on the program. Keep on following all of our stuff on Twitter and online all week. And we will talk to you again soon.